Hills, and she's much better known as the Shopping Cart Queen. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How about we start today by finding out just a bit about your background and how you got started into internet marketing?
Okay, well, my background is interesting. I've been working in the field of computers really since 1985. I first started out my career as a special effects artist. I lived in Los Angeles and I worked in television and commercials for many years. And then I went on to San Francisco, where I worked at George Lucas's company, Industrial Light and Magic. And there I was a senior technical director working on such films as Star Wars, Episode One, The Lost World, Tim Burton's Mars Attacks. I worked on Twister, The Perfect Storm, E.T. the re-release, and various other films. So I've been doing special effects for a long time, and decided to leave that career, although it was very fun, exciting, and rewarding. I had a child, and to stay in the Hollywood entertainment industry, you worked 5-6 days a week, 10-12-hour days. And to have a child, that just wasn't going to work. And I didn't want to put her off into daycare, and I had always wanted to become an entrepreneur. So I decided after she was born that now is the time to make the break.
So how did you decide on what to actually work on?
Well, I didn't know what I was going to work on. I had her, and then I stayed home for a year, and then after that, I decided to start dabbling, and I knew I wanted to get on the internet because it was a way to work from your home. My husband has an internet business, so I really didn't know what I was going to do, so I started building websites, and the way I got started was volunteering for an organization that needed a website built. And I didn't know how to build a website, but I found, a little nonprofit organization, and I just volunteered to do it. And the benefit of that was I was able to learn how websites come together without it being my own project.
And did you sell websites then after that point in time and make them for people? And in what year was that around?
I was around 2002, mm-hmm. And so, yes, after I had that one that I did for free, that was like my portfolio, so I started building websites for other people, helping my husband with his website, redesigning it, so basically putting websites together for folks. And I really liked that, and what I was doing in part of putting the websites together is I was adding the shopping cart. And I discovered that I really loved the adding the shopping cart part and was good at it and just loved to dive into the shopping cart system. The one I use is one shopping cart, also known as Marketer's Choice. So I would dive in, read the manual, try things out, and it just felt like a good match, and I became the shopping cart queen, and then now that's what I do.
Is it hard to set up a shopping cart, and what is a shopping cart? If you just briefly explain that for some people, and then if you can tell us how you go about choosing one and knowing which one to choose. And I hear there's some free ones, too. Would you go with that or not? So there's a lot of different questions.
Okay. These are great questions. When you want to have an online business, and there's many different ways to have an online business, but let's say you want to sell your own products. Well, there's a couple of things you need. You need a website, and you need a way to take payments online. And so the easiest way to do it is not to hire a programmer, but to get a service like One Shopping Cart. And then what you do is you go into your shopping cart, and you create your products and the names of your products, et cetera. And then you hook up, you connect together your website and the shopping cart so that when somebody comes to your site, they see the product they want to buy, they read your descriptions, then they click, and they've now left your site and actually gone on to the shopping cart system. But by integrating it well together, by integrating it together, the user doesn't notice that they've actually clicked and gotten to another site.
So is it wise then to set up my own shopping cart system to do that technical work myself, or should I be hiring someone to do it? Sounds complicated.
It's not really complicated. You can do it yourself. I teach people how to do it themselves all the time. Or you can hire a virtual assistant who is trained and knows how to set it up for you. You know, it all depends where you are in your business. I think it's a good idea for somebody who wants to start an online business to have a basic fundamental understanding of how it works. If you completely rely on other people, you can be, you know, stuck in a bind if those other people aren't around when you need them. Mm-hmm. So it is not hard to hook up together. Basically, and stop me if I'm getting too technical, but if you understand what a link is, then you can add it to your website.
When you do teach it, how long is it a course that you teach, and how long would it take?
Well, I have a course called Shopping Cart Secrets. Find that at shoppingcartqueen.com, and I also have a club, a monthly club. And so there's, you know, two different ways you can learn it. So how long does it take to learn something? You know, I get asked that question a lot, and it's hard to answer because everybody is coming online with a different fundamental understanding of how the Internet works. So it doesn't take long to learn if you have a basic fundamental orientation of how the Internet works. And what I mean by that is, you know, how web pages linked together. Not from a technical point, but just from I'm on this website, now I click a link, and now I'm on this website, now I click a link, now I'm on this website, and I look at an image, I see a button, and I understand that that button is a link, and it takes me to another website. So,
is there instructions on one shopping cart to know and teach you how to do it, and would I use that, or I still would need more help?
Well, here's why I became the Shopping Cart Queen and created a training program around the one shopping cart system, because although they do have a help desk and you can call their customer support and they do have manuals, they are teaching how to set up a shopping cart from a sort of programmer's point of view, and I teach it from a business owner's point of view.
So a lot of people who call in still don't get their answers answered.
Well, they do, but they're getting textbook answers versus okay, I'm running a business, I'm a business owner. Okay, what is the right answer for me? You know, which may be different from a textbook answer. So it's more from an entrepreneur's point of view.
What's an example that you've often been asked?
An example that I'm often asked is, how do I import my list? My list, so you have a list of emails and you are wanting to import them into your shopping cart system so you have your database in one place. And if you call support, they'll tell you how to import your list. And if you ask me, I'll tell you not to import your list. Because, you know, yes, you can import your list. And getting a little technical, so we should probably get
back. No, that's good, because at least then we'll get a good understanding about this.
Right. And then hopefully people listening understand, you know, what a list is. But here's what happens if you import your list. It's not that it won't work. It's that the reality of the way users, the way people are on the Internet, it won't work. Meaning you can import your list, they'll get an email notification, but most people will ignore that. So the textbook answer is, well, you go here and you click here and you import your Excel file. And it sends them an email and then they click it, right? That's the textbook answer. But the reality is when you import a list, you're going to lose at least half of them.
Oh.
You see, so I tell people don't import your list.
How do you get it hooked up with your list then, or you just don't?
Well, if you, it all depends upon how much work you want to put into it. So if you have a really, you know, if you have a really, really good list, they may be paying attention and they may all click the link and do what you tell them to. If you have a list that's somewhat responsive or occasionally responsive, a lot of them are going to miss or ignore that. So what I tell people is to keep using their old system and slowly move people over, which is more work on the business owner's point of view. See, there's whenever you're working online, right, there's always this balance of you as a business owner and your customers and prospects. What's good for your customers and prospects, or what's really good for your customers and prospects, is more work for you, the business owner. So, like, for example, here's a simple example. If you're going to have an opt-in box, right, and somebody enters their name and email and they opt in for your free report or your tips or whatever your opt-in offer is. Let's say you're going to do an opt-in that is confirmed opt-in, meaning they have to confirm their email before they can receive your messages. It's also called double opt-in. Well, if you set that up and you add on the thank you page like video and audio teaching people how to confirm their opt-in, you're going to make it easier for folks. But it's more work for you because you have to create that video and that audio. So when you're going online, you know, you visit some sites and you're like, wow, this site makes a lot of sense and this site's really easy and I understand this site. And then you visit other sites and it's like, wow, this is really confusing. Or I don't know what to do. Well, the business owner has spent more time making things easier.
And people will naturally be attracted to the ones that are easier to operate.
Right. Let me give a better example. Okay, let's say you're selling an ebook, right?
Okay.
And you have a sales letter selling your ebook. And then you click, okay, I want to buy the ebook, $47 or $97, whatever the price is. Or $19. So I want to click to buy the ebook. And now you land on the order form. All right, so now the customer's on the order form and they're filling out their information. Well, if you on that order form, if you customize it, if you add pictures of the product, if you add testimonials, if you add money back guarantees, if you add audio or video on your order form, then when people get there, you're going to have less shopping cart abandonment, and they'll understand what they're buying.
Okay.
So it's better for the customer and better for you, but you have to take some more time to set that up.
Christina, I think you said that you were not so, you wouldn't recommend a free service such as OS Commerce. Why is that, and how do is there particular shopping carts that are better for a certain type of business than another one, or there's just one shopping cart that basically everybody should pretty much use?
No, there's definitely different shopping carts for different people. I mostly help information marketers, entrepreneurs, internet marketing people, and so that is why I focus on the one shopping cart system. OS Commerce I have not used. All I know about it is that it's free and it's open source, but I have not used that, so I can't comment on that. I'm familiar with a couple of other systems. Well, PayPal is not really a shopping cart, but it can be used as a shopping cart, and PayPal is great for the newbie getting started as their only shopping cart system. But when you start getting more volume, you're going to want to move away from PayPal because it doesn't help you build an online database. It's not really building an online database for you. that one shopping cart system does. One shopping cart is great. It has a great price point for people, you know, who are getting started and can afford to spend the, you know, $47 a month on that service. There are other systems like Yahoo Stores, which is more for the people who have a store, you know, with lots of, like, an Amazon-type store.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's really customized shopping carts like the Vendini system if you're selling live events, like if you're selling performances.
Mm-hmm.
The Vendini, and you want to have a way for people to choose their seat, you know, a seating plan. So let's say you're a theater company or a dance company and you're selling seats at an event. The Vendini system is very good, and it's specifically designed for that. There's
okay.
another system called Infusionsoft. And they are much higher end, and they're more for people who are doing a lot of volume and for folks who want to integrate not only online but offline, meaning their shopping cart integrates snail mail, sending out direct mail pieces, and voice broadcasting, stuff like that.
How much does it cost?
Well, I don't want to quote prices because prices can change, but the last I looked, it had a setup fee of $5,000, and
mm-hmm.
it was $300 a month.
Okay.
I don't know what it is now. So the one shopping cart system, no setup fee, $50 a month. You know, Infusion, it's much.
It's for a much bigger business and a bigger volume.
Bigger business and bigger volume, and for people who have a team or assistants working with them. You know, with one shopping cart, you can be up and running really quickly. So if you got a, if you have an ebook you want to sell, you can open up a shopping cart account, you know, get PayPal as your payment processor, and put in your ebook in your shopping cart. It gives you a link, and you can start emailing that link out to people.
Is it easy to put the payment processing system on and figuring out the shipment calculation cost? Is it easy to put that into the shopping cart?
The shopping cart calculates it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and same with the tax. So you just let it know, hey, I want to charge tax in New York, and here's the tax rate. And then it knows to which customers to charge tax to. Same with the shipping. You can decide, well, I want flat rate shipping, or I want shipping by weight. And here's the weights of my items. So on the order form, the shopping cart will do those calculations.
Does it come up with a different price then if I ship from New York to California versus New York to Buffalo?
You can set up real-time shipping, and it will do that. So it will then calculate sort of where you are and where you're shipping to and the weight of the item. So you can set it up that way.
What would you recommend somebody should do, that a flat fee or from city to city and have it charged real time?
I recommend a flat fee. It's a lot simpler. So if you do a flat fee, then on some, you know, you'll save a little money, and then on others you'll actually pay out more. But it's a lot simpler.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps everything cleaner, okay? Shipping out this CD set, and it is $7.95, no matter where you ship it.
And with that, you know the weight of the CD is, so it'll
right.
be the same every time, as opposed to if you have products that you ship that one time it's 10 pounds, next time it's 50 pounds. In that case, you may want to use the real time, would you say?
Yeah. I mostly help information marketers, and if you're selling information, right, your expertise,
mm-hmm.
you have more room, wiggle room with your shipping prices. If you're selling T-shirts and you're in a very competitive market, you're trying to get your shipping costs down as low as possible.
Okay.
So in that instance, most merchants want to use real-time shipping to get the shipping price down. But if you're selling a CD set and it's $97, it makes sense, okay, the shipping's $12.
Mm-hmm.
Just easier, the flat rate is a lot easier.
Okay, I see.
And again, it comes back to, I keep wanting to come back to this, it comes back to you as the business owner, right? So if you as a business owner make that business decision, all right, I'm going to charge $12 for shipping, okay, you're done with that. You can now move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, all right, let's go down to the post office and let's weigh it and let's do all this calculation. That's going to chew up your time.
Is there anything else that we should know about a shopping cart that you'd like to add to what you've already told us?
No, I think I've covered the basics.
Okay, great. Well, I know, Christina, you don't just do shopping carts all day long. So what are some of the other things that you do in a typical day?
Okay, well, I've been teaching about setting up a shopping cart, but there's always been a bottleneck to me helping people. And the bottleneck has been, up until now, it has been, okay, client, customer, you want my help, do you have a webmaster? And either, yes, they had a webmaster, or they did it themselves, or no, they didn't have a webmaster. And it made it a little, it made it trickier because I couldn't help people starting from scratch. But now what I'm doing is I'm teaching WordPress. And WordPress is a blogging software,
mm-hmm.
but it can be used to create your website. You can create a store with WordPress. And what I like about WordPress is you don't have to be a technical person. You don't have to be a webmaster to get a website up. And so I started teaching WordPress so that people can then take their ideas, create a website, then add the shopping cart, you know, and then have an online business.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's much easier nowadays to just go and use WordPress to set up the blog and also
right.
put a shopping cart system within it.
Exactly, because, see, before when I was just teaching the shopping cart, you kind of had to have a website already or you had to have solved that, you know, come to a solution for that previous to coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now... And this is why I'm teaching WordPress, is now people can start with, okay, I have an idea, I've got an ebook I want to sell. And I say, okay, great. I'll teach you how to build your site with WordPress, and then I'll show you how to add, connect the link to the shopping cart.
How many weeks does it take to do this course?
This course is an 8-module course that I have spread out over 10 weeks.
I see.
Yeah.
Can we still get into it?
Well, it opens and closes, you know, depending upon when you're listening to this recording. You just have to go to websitecreationworkshop.com and see when the next class is happening.
Okay. So that's websitecreation.com?
No, websitecreationworkshop.com.
Okay. Okay,
websitecreationworkshop.com. Yeah, it's a course. It's a live course that I teach live. And really interact with my students and look at their projects. We have an online webinar workshop where I'm diving in and looking at each person's project. It's really a fun class because the students all get very involved and very involved with each other. So it's not like a home study course. It's
mm-hmm.
a full-on interactive class.
Sometimes I hear internet marketers tell me, well, you can set up your WordPress blog in 15 minutes and you're all done. What do you say to that?
Well, if you know what you're doing, you can.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many people who, like I myself, I wouldn't have the patience or know how to start with that. I would need someone to keep guiding me, to give me some confidence, and
right.
also to just show me where to click and what to do. And sounds like that's exactly what you're doing in your class.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, people getting started, they don't know, you know, like I'm spending time discussing the difference between web hosting and what a domain name is. Some people don't know that difference or the difference between web hosting and the WordPress software. So, yes, once you know what you're doing, you can do it in 15 minutes. I set, and it was only because I was on a slow connection, but I set up an entire website in 2 hours once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, done, start to finish. And that included buying web hosting. So there is, for folks getting started online, there's a little bit of a learning curve when you come online of sort of learning what all these words are and terms are, et cetera. So what's exciting for me, and this is why I teach the website creation workshop live, is it's exciting for me to work with business owners, you know, who are non-technical and see them get it and see them be freed from a webmaster and not have to pay high fees to a webmaster all the time. I mean, a lot of business owners feel trapped. They have ideas they want to share with the world, and they're trapped by having to hire some webmaster and be at that webmaster's mercy. Well, I can teach someone, and then that they get rid of that webmaster, and now they're in control of their own destiny.
And that's what WordPress does, and blogging, which is something that we didn't have a couple of years ago. So it's been really a great breakthrough for people to be independent and learn something that's, it might be a little bit difficult at first, but it really, once you get it going, it's quite easy.
Yes. There's a thing I call the light bulb, and I see it happen in my class where a student will go, oh, my God, I now get it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, it's so easy. So at first it's like, huh, you're navigating and you don't know sort of where you're at, and then all of a sudden, like, the light shines on, and then it's like, wow, I can't believe how easy this is.
That's got to be a great feeling for you, too.
Yes. It's really fun, yeah.
So who are the permanent members of your team? Do you work with a group of people, or is it mostly yourself?
I have a team of virtual assistants who I work with, and I also employ consultants from time to time if I'm, you know, trying to do something new and I want someone else's expertise. I also take online classes from other folks. But I work with a team of virtual assistants, and we are connected via the telephone and our computers and email.
How did you find a virtual assistant?
Well, my first virtual assistant found me, and we worked together for a long time. She was really wonderful, and then she, you know, moved on to other things, and then I got another virtual assistant. Mostly word of mouth is how I've been finding my virtual assistants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking for a virtual assistant, a lot of them on Twitter. And so, but you can just do a Google search for a virtual assistant. But I think the best way to start is to ask around.
Yeah,
hey, who do you
people.
Use? A wonderful organization is assistyou.com, A-S-S-I-S-T, and the letter U, assistyou.com.
All right, that's great.
They are an excellent organization that trains virtual assistants. And if you're a business owner looking for a virtual assistant, that's one of the places I'd recommend you could go.
Or we may have some people who may want to get themselves trained to be a virtual assistant.
Exactly.
How much do you have to pay for a virtual assistant?
You know, the prices range, so I don't want to give a hard quote, but it can be anywhere from $10 an hour to $65 an hour. So it all depends upon the virtual assistant's skill set and what you need and what you're looking for. Now, I have outsourced overseas. I personally didn't like the experience, but I know other people who've had good experiences working with overseas people. I didn't like it as much.
I often get asked from people, like, how fast can I make money online? Just how long is it going to take? And what's your thoughts on that? And also, where does the money come from in your business? Like, do you have a site and the money just comes in there every morning? I'm trying to look for how can someone realistically go out and what can they do to be able to make money? I'm trying
okay.
to give them some ideas.
Well, there's two things I recommend. There's two things that you need to address. First is, what market are you going to sell to? So you need to find a niche. You need to find a rabid market who wants to buy what you have to offer. So if you're into golfing, you may want to go into the golf market. If you're into healthcare, maybe the healthcare market. If you're into, mothering, parenting babies, etc., you might want to go into that market. So you first have to pick a market that you're interested in. Then that's the one thing you got to pick, and do a little research online to look around and see what other sites are there in this particular market you've chosen. Then the second thing you need to do is ask yourself, what are the things I like and what are the things I am interested in doing? What do I like to do? So you need to be honest with yourself. Okay, I want to start an online business. All right, what does that mean? All right, so you know, what do you like to do? Do you like to write? Do you like to talk on the phone? Do you like to talk to prospects or not talk to prospects? Do you like to do research, online research? So think about what market you want to get in and what tasks do you as a business owner like to do, and see how you can then marry those together. So if you're a writer and you like to write, email marketing and blogging is a great way to get business, right? So you can write emails and do a lot of blogging. That's one way to drum up business. Other people are really good at video. They like to shoot video. You know, you can get a little flip video camera, and it's about $100 to $200, and start shooting video and edit it on your computer, and you can make videos and load them up to YouTube. So that might be a way. How are you going to get people once you've chosen your market? What's going to be your way you're going to communicate? That's something you got to ask yourself. Forget what somebody else is doing. People make the mistake if they look at successful business owners and say, oh, he or she's making a ton of money, I'm going to copy them. Well, that may or may not work for you. So if that person's making money because they're speaking from the stage and they're flying all over the country, speaking in front of audiences at events, does that match your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. You have to look at what's good for you.
You have to look at what's good for you. And so look at what's good for you and what skills you have, and then go in that direction with the market, right? So you could say, all right, I want to get into the golfing market or the gardening market, right? Gardeners are avid, you know, master gardeners. They're mm-hmm. they're nuts, gardening people into gardening. So, okay, you want to be in the gardening market and you love to do videos. Great. Build a business around that. Or you want to get in the gardening market, but you're really a good writer. You don't want to deal with the video thing. Then you start writing articles. And that's how you drum up business.
That's the joy of being able to run an online business, because there are so many different ways that you can use to make money, and you can choose which one suits your personality and your lifestyle.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's taking the combination of the what market am I interested in, because you're going to be spending time with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it is golfing and you're making videos, you're going to be hanging out on golf courses. So make sure that's what you like to do, or you're going to be writing articles or doing research on golfing. Make sure that's what you like to do or you have a passion for.
But where does the money come from those?
Okay. So there's different ways to make money. I mean, one way you make money is you have your own products and you hook up a shopping cart and people come to your site and they see your product and then they click and they buy. And when they click and they buy, their credit card gets run through. It's then hooked up to your bank account, right, through your merchant account, and the money lands in your bank account about 2 days later. That's one way to make money. Another way to make money is you, let's say you're the writer, you fall into the writer category, so you build, say, a WordPress website or blog, and you start having all these articles and all your writings, and then people find you through organic search or maybe pay-per-click. Now they've come to your site, and maybe you have Google AdWords on your site, which is called AdSense. So maybe the way you're making money is you're making money because people are clicking, because they're reading your articles, and then they're seeing these little ads, and they're clicking, and mm-hmm. you get paid when they click.
For your own websites or your internet business, does the money mostly come from the coaching?
Yes, it
okay.
comes from the coaching. It comes from my training. So
your classes.
Right, it comes directly that way.
And do you use joint venture partners too?
I sometimes use joint venture partners. I'm very selective with who I joint venture with, but joint ventures work very well. I do enjoy that. And so the way I find my joint venture partners is I mostly joint venture with somebody who I've met in person or somebody who pretty much I have to have met them in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet people in person because I go to live events. And so I go to a few live events every year, and I have a network of people who I've made friends with over the years. And I also meet people in courses. I take teleseminar training as much as I teach teleseminar training, mm-hmm. and I meet other students in these courses. Like in my workshop, students are meeting each other because I have it set up like Facebook. We have this members area that's like a wall, Facebook
mm-hmm.
wall. And so they're all meeting each other and writing on each other's wall and exchanging phone numbers, et cetera.
What program do you use for that?
I use WordPress.
Oh, okay. So WordPress has a particular area that you can set up to be able to see each other if you're doing a call.
Well, it's the way I've designed my class. But WordPress, what I like about WordPress is it gives you the ability for users to leave comments. So I have specific pages, specific areas in the class set up for each student so they can leave comments on their own page and other students can visit them and leave comments as well.
Okay.
So WordPress is a very configurable software that you can make it do almost whatever you want it to do. So you can set it up like a sales letter site. You can set it up like a blog. You can set it up like a members area classroom like I'm doing. But anyway, back to joint ventures. I've met people through online courses.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly I meet through relationships and live events.
Are there any particular live events that you go to every single year that you would recommend to us?
There's a couple. I recommend Ken McCarthy's The System Seminar. That happens once a year.
Okay.
That's Ken McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I also recommend the big seminar from Armin Warren. That's a great event to meet other joint venture partners. And
right.
there's lots of others. It sort of depends what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year I'm going to go to Blog World, the WordPress event. So just find what you're interested in. It's always changing. You know, look around. I mean, you can pick an event because there's techniques you want to learn from them, or you can pick an event because other like-minded folks will be there.
Okay. One thing that goes on often is that there's many people who tend to make a little money, and then there's other people who make so much. What do you think is the difference between these two types of people?
I think the difference is chutzpah. I think the people who make a lot of money have guts, and they're not afraid of failures. And I think about it like, you know, remember in college, the guy who wasn't that great looking, but he managed to get a lot of dates, and that's because he wasn't scared of rejection, and he wasn't afraid to go ask the girl out, even though he thought, she might not say yes, but, you know, he asked the girl out, and he got yeses. Whereas the other shyer guy who is like the nice guy in his heart, right, and is more sensitive, you know, doesn't ask the girl out and so stays home with no dates. So it's kind of like that. I think the ones who are more successful are the ones who aren't scared and they try stuff and they're willing to make mistakes and they get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Meaning, you know, when you go up to ask a girl on for a date or, you know, or if you're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm speaking to a women's audience, right? But just imagine you're a guy, right? And the guy goes to ask the girl out. He's uncomfortable. He's scared he might get rejected. But if you can let that go and say, all right, I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm going
to
do it anyway.
Just those
work are the
through
people.
Your fear.
You work through your fears, and the more you do it, the better you'll be at it. So if you are scared to do a blog post, well, you should just type it and do it and put it out to the world and see what happens, and then do it again, and then do it again. That's the same with an email broadcast, right?
Just feel the fear and do it anyways.
Exactly. And the folks that I see, the ones who are most successful, are the ones who take that attitude. They put perfectionism aside, and they just say, I'm going to go for it, and I might make mistakes, but I'm going to go for it. It's like doing your first teleseminar in front of a live audience. It's nerve-wracking at first if you've never done it before. But the more you do it, the better you'll get at it.
What do you recommend, Christina, for someone who may be making $100 a month? How can they move this business from making that up to supporting themselves?
You have to have like a go-for-it attitude, and you have to be in a market that there are people who want to buy. So if you're marketing, and they have money, if you're marketing to welfare folks, they don't have money, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to, if you have an idea, you want to market to people who can actually afford it, and you want to market to people that you can reach. So you might have an idea for a real niche market of spindle spinners. Okay, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Right, people who use, you know, like in Sleeping Beauty, that whole, the yarn thing with the spindle, right?
Remember? Yes.
You got the visual.
But could you really make some money on that?
Well, are those people online, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe those people are not online, that maybe they're not hanging out online.
So you need to have a niche that you've researched that you know there
right.
is a need for it.
Right, but let's take the example of trying to get your baby to go to sleep at night.
Okay.
You know, those moms are pulling their hairs out, going online, doing searches, how am I going to get my baby to go to sleep? Right? So you want a market that you can reach, you have access to. If you do some Google searches and spindle spinner types, nothing shows up on the right-hand side. That's where the ads are for Google.
Right.
If nobody's doing any ads, maybe it's not a good market. Because other people are not making money. You kind of want to look in a market, where are people already making money, and how can I do it better? Or how can I do it with my flair? And is there enough people? Left-handed midgets, you know, although it might be niche, there might not be enough of them to sell to.
How were you able to take your business to a point where you're able to just do this full time?
It happens slowly. I think people fool themselves by thinking it's going to be an overnight thing. For most people, it's not.
Because every time I read a sales letter, I'm told that, wow, it can make $25,000 or $1 million overnight even.
Well, those people who are making that much money overnight, they may be coming at it with a whole bunch of business experience. So maybe they've never been online before, but they had a brick-and-mortar business.
Well, they probably spent 6 months to a year working on the project. And
exactly.
And they just say that for the final moments,
exactly.
It was done and achieved in one day. However, we need to remember that there was a lot of computer work and implementation done behind the scenes for quite a period of time and planning and figuring out the business plan.
Absolutely. Those million-dollar days you hear about, that's because that person spent at least 6 months working leading up for that million-dollar day, right? So if you're going to do a big launch and you want to have one of these, I made $1 million in a day, you know, you've created your product, you've written the sales letter, you've written the whole email sequence that goes out, you've written up all your Google ads, you've got your articles in place to go out to article marketing. You've already created your videos and uploaded them to YouTube. You've contacted joint venture partners and followed up with them and lined up interviews. I mean, imagine, that's a lot of work.
It is.
So if you're going to do, this is why I come back to do something you're passionate about. If you're going to spend your time doing all that work, pick an arena that you are already really interested in, that you would lie in bed and read the magazine. So if you want to go into sailing, if you're a sailor and you like, you know, sailboats and you like to go racing and all that, would you read sailing magazines at night in bed anyway. Would you watch it on TV? Same with golfing or tennis or anything. Because if you're going to put all this work into building an online business, you should put work into something that you have an interest in.
Exactly. But at least you can enjoy what you're doing as you go along and build.
Exactly. Exactly.
When I started this particular project, I started it because I noticed there were not that many women at the first seminar that I attended. So I thought, where are all the women? And I was sure that they're doing amazing things in this business. And it was my mission to go out and find the women who were actually making the money online and accomplishing this. Do you have some advice for women starting out in the business? And do you have an opinion about why you don't see so many women out there?
It's interesting because in the past couple of years, the landscape has really changed. And it's changed for the better, I think, for women. And what I'm referring to is social media. See, in the old days, you basically had, you know, a website, an opt-in box, email marketing. Okay, I'm simplifying it, but
yes.
You come to a site, you opt in, you got on an email list, and you read a sales letter, and you buy the product. That was, like, kind of how it was, right? Or maybe you went to a store like Amazon. But now with Facebook and Twitter and other social media, there is, especially Facebook, there's no kind of one way to do things. So you might have more Twitter followers than email subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might have blog subscribers, people who read your blog but they never opt into your email list. So now it's more relationship building through Facebook and commenting on Facebook and meeting people on Facebook and Twitter, etc. So it's not so linear like it used to be.
It's a great dimension that's been added to marketing.
Exactly. And I think women are networking and making buying decisions different ways than men are. And that's, I think, changing the landscape for the better for women. And I think it's getting smaller, you know, more micro. Start a Facebook group or you've got a bunch of Twitter followers. So it has seemed to be dominated by men because there's a lot of men speaking on the stage at these conferences. And I think some women, like myself, are choosing not to go that route. I have an 8-year-old daughter. If I did the speaking from the stage thing, it means like every weekend I'd be gone. And I don't want that lifestyle.
Exactly. So you choose not to do that.
So I was chosen not to do that. Now other people might decide that it's right for them.
In your classes, do you find that it's an equal amount of men and women?
Pretty much. It's pretty much equal. Maybe slightly more women, but I have a lot of men too.
And are they people who already have businesses established, but they're looking how to go online? Or they're people who are choosing to create themselves and just start online right now?
I have people just getting started, and I have entrepreneurs who've been online for a while, and they're looking for other solutions. So I have a real mix, and then I have newbies who still have day jobs. So I have a real mix of people. I have a lot of virtual assistants because I've trained on technology, but I train on technology with a marketing perspective.
The technology you train on is on the WordPress and on the shopping cart.
On one shopping cart, and I also train on doing teleseminars. And, you know,
you're training people on how to give teleseminar, you mean, or what?
Yes, I train on instant teleseminar, which is a system. So I like to find systems that are popular, and I like to train on those systems. So
okay.
I like to take technology and break it down to make it easy for normal people to understand. And while I'm teaching the technology, I'm teaching the marketing principles as well.
Okay, that's great. So that, in fact, that's your business model, right?
Yes. And let me tell you why I teach technology, because when I was getting started, I took a lot of courses and went to seminars and heard people talk about this stuff, but then I walked away and went, scratching my head going, I still don't know how it connects together, right? Okay, that's a great theory, but I'm sitting at my desk and I don't have a website. So that's why I teach technology and marketing together. It's like, okay, here are the concepts. All right, let's actually put it together. At the end of the course, you walk away with a completed project.
And the ability to continue to do this over and over if you want to.
Exactly.
If our listeners want to get in touch with you and keep in touch with you, where would they sign up?
Well, I have two sites. You can go to shoppingcartqueen.com, and that is my site focused on using the One Shopping Cart system. You can also find me at websitecreationworkshop.com. That's my site for teaching you WordPress, or just christinahills.com.
When we join your list, will you be sending us out information periodically?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You'll get on my email list, and that'll be a good way to get in touch with me. You can also go to twitter.com/Christina Hills.
If I wanted to find out about the shopping cart and the WordPress blog information from you, should I be signing up to each of those email lists? Do you send the same information to the this?
I'm starting to separate it, so I would go to each.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, I really want to thank you for talking with us today and discussing all about how to use the shopping cart and how to get going in a particular niche. Appreciate your time and just really want to thank you.
You're most welcome.
Was there anything else that you did want to add?
No, I think just go to christinahills.com. That's my umbrella site that I'm building, and you'll find links to the other.